WTFR.
Greetings, everybody. This is Tabitha, and you are listening to another edition of Tabby's Tidbits. So today is the last day on this calendar that we use. Not really sure if it's accurate. Kind of think it's not. But anyway, this is according to, you know, what it is. And it's the last day of the year, December 31, 2019. So the reason I played some of that vintage Paris jazz is because today we're going to be making a creme brulee, which is basically ice cream. It's just baked in the oven and has a crispy, kind of almost brittly sugar topping, as opposed to something that is frozen and churned. So to start out, let's read a little bit about creme brulee, because not everybody is possibly familiar with what it is. And this is not only a delicious broadcast, it's an educational broadcast. So let's look a little bit into how creme brulee is made and what it is. And it's very pretty too. It's considered kind of like a, I guess you'd say a romantic or a celebratory dessert, good for sharing. Traditionally paired with, you know, berries, raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, sometimes what's called tuiles, which are very thin, crispy French cookies that when they're baked, they're usually draped over a rolling pin or something like that. So they kind of get soft, they're pliable when they're out of the oven, and then you can kind of roll them up into like a little cigar or kind of just curl them like a taco shell, essentially. So creme brulee is a custard, just like ice cream is a custard, flan is a custard, just different ways to make the same ingredients. So creme brulee is also known as burnt cream, that's what creme brulee means, or Trinity cream. It's a dessert consisting of a rich custard base topped with a texturally contrasting layer of hardened caramelized sugar. It is normally served slightly chilled. The heat from the caramelizing process tends to warm the custard, producing a cool center. So it's got a nice foil in regards to temperature and texture, which I think is always what makes food pretty exciting. The custard base is traditionally flavored with vanilla, but can have a variety of other flavorings. In modern times, it's often topped with berries or other small pieces of fruit and served as creme brulee aux fruits. And here's a bit of the history. The earliest known recipe for creme brulee appears in François Massillot's 1691 cookbook Cuisinart Royal et Bourgeois. The name burnt cream was used in 1702 English translation. In 1740, Massillot referred to a similar recipe as crème à l'anglaise, as English cream. The dish then vanished from French cookbooks until the 1980s. A version of crème brûlée, known locally as Trinity cream or Cambridge burnt cream, was introduced at Trinity College, Cambridge in 1879 with the college arms, quote, impressed on top of the cream with a branding iron. Creme brulee was not very common in French and English cookbooks of the 19th and 20th centuries. It became very popular in the 1980s as a symbol of the decade's self-indulgence and the darling of the restaurant boom. Probably popularized by Sergio Macchioni at the New York restaurant Le Cirque. He claimed to have made it, quote, the most famous and by far most popular desserts in restaurants from Paris to Peoria. So that's a little bit about the history. And like the first paragraph said, it can be made in a variety of flavorings, chocolate, coffee. I have made before, like a White Russian variety, which is actually pretty cool, using Kahlua. You can also do a Bailey's variety. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but I just prefer the classic one. I'm kind of the same way with ice cream. I just like it plain. I think when you use really good ingredients and really good technique, the niceness, the vanilla just really shines through. And here is a technique. This is how you make creme brulee, which I'll discuss more when we're doing the recipe together. So creme brulee is usually served in individual ramekins. Discs of caramel may be prepared separately and put on top just before serving. Or, this is the way I do it, the caramel may be formed directly on top of the custard immediately before serving. This is what most restaurants do too. They'll make this earlier in the week, and then when it comes time for service, they will just brulee the top and serve it. To do this, sugar is sprinkled onto the custard, then caramelize under a salamander broiler or with a butane torch. And I just use a little kitchen like butane torch. In restaurants, they'll use like a massive kind of more masculine looking torch. But for home use, you can buy these wee little torches, maybe about, I don't know, 5 or 6 inches in height, and those work perfectly. Two styles exist to make creme brulee. The common format is to create a quote hot custard, traditionally by whisking egg yolks in a double boiler with sugar and incorporate the cream with vanilla following once the custard is off the heat. Likewise, this can be achieved by tempering the egg yolk sugar mixture with the hot cream and adding vanilla at the end. And tempering, for those of us who don't know, you could also temper chocolate. What you do is you basically want to slowly bring something up to heat. So if you just pour in a bunch of hot cream to egg yolks, you're going to get scrambled eggs. So you slowly and gently mix it in until the mixture that you're pouring in has kind of come to temperature with the mixture that you're creating, so you don't get like this scrambled egg type of thing. Another thing you can do is strain it to kind of make it as smooth as possible. There also exists a cold method, wherein the egg yolks and sugar are whisked together until the mixture reaches a ribbon stage. And that happens when you furiously mix egg yolk and sugar until it gets volume and it gets this rather ribbity type of look to it, where you can just kind of drag your whisk across it or your mixer and it will look like a ribbon. It will also be plumped and poofed in size, and it will have a lighter color than the original egg yolk started out as. Then, after they do the ribbon stage, cold heavy cream is whisked into the yolk mixture followed by vanilla. After the custard is achieved, the mixture is dished into ramekins, and the ramekins are placed in a bain-marie. Now, bain-marie, that means it's a water bath. It's just a French word for a water bath. A bain-marie is a type of heated bath. It's a piece of equipment used in science, industry, and cooking to heat materials gently. Sometimes cheesecake is also made using the bain-marie method. So hot or boiling water is poured into a large pan holding the ramekins until it reaches halfway up the sides, and the pan is placed in the oven until the custard center is jiggly and the edges are set. Pulling the creme brulee out at this point ensures a creamy dessert. If you don't do the bain-marie, you get cracks. Oftentimes with a cheesecake, people will get cracks too. So this gently cooks it in a very soft manner. And you're not going to get any of like those nasty cracks, and it's not going to overcook it and mess up the texture. And creme brulee is similar to something known as creme caramel or flan, but flan is the opposite. It's got the same intrinsic ingredients for the custard. However, flan does not have a brittly or a crackly caramelized sugar topping. Flan has a bit of caramel sauce on the bottom. So it's kind of like an upside down version of flan. I prefer creme brulee because I like the texture better, but if you've ever had flan, this is similar to flan. So now, enough chat about the history and all that stuff. Let's go over into the kitchen and make our creme brulee. So to start out, we're going to put the oven on 325. Whenever you're doing custards, you want to do a little bit of a lower temperature than you would if you were just doing cookies or stuff like that. That's just the way you do it. So I've got my egg yolks right here. I'm going to have to get myself a bowl. Also going to need to get my vanilla out as well. And I'm going to be doing a double vanilla version of this to make it extra excellent. And I'm going to be using vanilla extract as well as vanilla bean powder. This is going to be great. And this is one of those recipes where for the top part, where we sprinkle the sugar on top, You're going to want to use a blonde or a white sugar, something that I really don't advocate too often, but this is when it's necessary, because this is what's really going to help it get that nice crusted up top. If you were using something like a brown sugar, maple sugar, date sugar, you just wouldn't get the same effect. However, for the inside part, the custard part, that I'm going to be using maple sugar for. Of course, whenever you use maple sugar or date sugar or brown sugar, you can expect to get a darker result. Like, for example, if you were going to make a meringue or something like that, you would get a much darker result making a meringue with brown sugar than you would with white sugar. Okay, so let's get our eggs cracked right now. Let me get my whisk. Just kind of setting everything up as I talk. And I'm going to use a melange or a mixture of a couple of different ramekins. I don't have a full ramekin set, but no worries on that. If you didn't happen to have ramekins, you can do kind of like a family style creme brulee where you would do everything in like one big pie plate or something like that. So have no fear. There's always a way around if you don't have the proper or, you know, the more accessible, that's the wrong word. If you don't have the, you know, kitchen equipment to make the individual sizes, you could always, you know, just use a big pie plate or something like that. All right, so I'm going to start by breaking some eggs and separating them. I find the best way to separate an egg is not to buy any of these gadgets or to try to use the shell of the egg, which can rip the yolk. I just use my hands, and I think that's the easiest way to do it. And oftentimes back in the day, when people would make these custardy desserts and such, they would save the egg yolks to use for things like an angel food cake or something like that, which is kind of the antithesis of a custard. Angel food cake is, well, it's got heaps of flour. This doesn't have a stitch of flour. And it's usually a low-fat dessert. Really not my type of thing, personally. And it's super duper duper sweet. Also, again, not my type of thing. All right, just taking these eggs. And with these egg whites, I'm not sure what I'll do with them yet. I really don't like egg whites that much. Whenever I have eggs in the morning, I just basically eat the yolk and I give the cooked egg whites back to my chickens. So I just don't really have much of a fancy for it. However, if I'm eating a scrambled egg, that's a different story. Now the recipe I'm using states that we're gonna use 6 large egg yolks. I'm gonna go for more because I read some of the comments in the recipe, and this is a very custardy dessert. Every custard, if it's a proper custard, it has an abundance of eggs. So I'm gonna up this by using 8 or 7 eggs, depending on the size of them. Of course, when you have eggs outside that come from your own birds, it's not like going to the store where you're like, yeah, I bought a dozen large eggs. You get a hodgepodge, which is nice. It has its moments. All right. So far that is 6, right? Yeah, just gotta give my hands a little bit of rinse. All right. I've got my oven on. I have my roasting pan out to put in my my custard with my ramekins. Okay, so that was 6 eggs. That was the end of this carton. Let's toss that in the trash. And let's get some more. Yep, that's 6 so far. Okay. And I like to crack an egg flat, on a flat surface. I know some people like to crack it on the edge of a bowl or the edge of a counter. That actually is not the most optimal technique, because then you risk having some of the shell basically rip into the yolk. And especially for something like this, you do not want to rip that yolk. Just like if you're having sunny up eggs, you do not want to rip that yolk. And that's typically how I have eggs in the morning, is sunny up. That's my favorite way to have them. I also like a poached egg, and I also like a soft boiled egg quite a bit. Okay, that is 8. And since I had a variety of eggs, some of them a little more ample than the other ones, you can see right there. Well, I can see, you can't. But I have 8 yolks right like so. Another quick hand rinse. Okay. And for this recipe, I'm doing a bit of a twist, and I'm using coconut cream as opposed to heavy cream. for this recipe for people who possibly don't take dairy for whatever reason that may be, your own business, of course, this will be good for you guys. Of course, it's not a vegan recipe because we're using egg yolks, but I don't promote Abrahamic beliefs on this podcast or on my show. All right, let's just get a measuring cup out. So I'm using a brand of coconut cream called Savoy. That's what I have right here. This is one of the best coconut creams, in my opinion. I've tried quite a few of them, but I like this one. And each can, unfortunately it is a can. I try to keep myself away from tinned goods as ever I can, but sometimes certain things are just superior or only really come in a can, so that's what I'm using. But at least I'm honest with myself about it. It's good about that. So this is 14 ounces. That is a bit shy of a pint. A pint, of course, is 2 cups or 16 ounces. And this recipe calls for a quart. Of course, a quart is 2 pints, 4 cups, 32 ounces. So 14 plus 14 is 28. That means I'm 4 ounces short. So I'm going to add 4 ounces of water, which is a half a cup, along with this coconut cream. Now, if you're making this recipe and you want to do it with heavy cream, and I will add that option in the description, just disregard this piece about adding the half cup. So all in all, our ingredients for this recipe are very simple. It's either coconut cream with a little bit of water or heavy cream. That's the base of it. Then we're going to be using vanilla bean powder, maple sugar, as well as unbleached white cane sugar for the top piece. And then we're using egg yolks and water for our bain-marie. But the water does not go into the custard. That's totally separate. Mm. Now, my coconut milk was in the fridge, so mine's a bit stiff. I oftentimes will keep a couple of cans of this in the fridge in case I'm making coconut whipped cream, which is actually a real nice recipe. None of that tranny stuff where people are making these whipped creams using all types of mind-boggling ingredients, trying to make a low-fat whipped cream. I mean, just unbelievable insanity, essentially, and just a waste of time, bad for your body, bad for your brain, ages your skin, just culinary tomfoolery as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to make something, at least make something that's an analog using proper lipids as opposed to one of these ridiculous, stupid inventions that doesn't help anybody and just, well, doesn't make you look too good either. So here I am just mixing up my half cup of water with my 28 ounces of coconut cream. I have my oven on 325. And now I'm going to add my vanilla bean to this, or my vanilla bean powder. You could use vanilla beans. They are a bit of work to kind of, you know, basically slice it and then add your, you know, scrape it off and do all that type of stuff. So, and I think it's probably a better value. Granted, vanilla bean or vanilla in general is not really an affordable or a cheap food. It's like saffron. It just happens to be expensive, but that's just the way it is. So I'm adding, I would say that's about 1/4 teaspoon. We don't need much. We really don't. And this is expensive too. A little goes a long way. Of course, at the end of this recipe, I'm going to be adding a bit of vanilla extract. You always add vanilla extract at the end when you take something off the heat, because there is a little bit of alcohol in it, so it could, you know, cook off. So we really don't want that to happen because we want to get that deep flavor as much as we can. Okay, that is the timer telling me that everything is ready. But first, I have to go over to the stove. So right now, I'm going to go over to the stove with the coconut cream, the water, and the vanilla bean. And I'm using a nice stainless steel all-clad pot. I like this one. I think it's, I'm not sure how many quarts it holds, but it's a good pot. I use it for a lot of stuff. And pots and pans are one of those things that a lot of people should probably upgrade on. I've had moments in my life where I bought stuff that I thought was good at the time. Like there was a time, well, I guess about 3 to 4 years ago when I bought these pans called Green Pan, and they're crap. I would not recommend those at all. They chip, they pit, they're not oven safe. I think they have toxic compounds on them, and they're not too cheap either. I mean, so you end up paying all this money for something that just really doesn't help you out in any regard. Your best bet is to invest in stainless steel cookery, like All Clad. That's a real nice brand. to buy things like cast iron, like Le Creuset or Staub. That's what I outfit my kitchen with, and you'll have these things for decades, really. You could even pass this stuff on to future generations. You'll have it for so long. So right now I have my coconut cream, my water, and my vanilla, and I can already see with the heat this is melting in very nicely. That is good. Been doing a bit of cooking this morning, too. I have a pot of chicken stock right behind my creme brulee. Let's take a sip of water right there. And we're going to basically bring this to medium heat. And bring this to a boil over medium heat. That's what we're doing right now. So let's turn this down a wee bit to about 4. That's what I have. I mean, not everyone has the numbers on their stove. This, of course, is a gas stove, too, which is always a preference, always better. So we're going to bring this to a boil, and then we're going to remove it from the heat and allow it just to sit, which will just help it cool down just a tiny bit. So that's all we just need to do. Just going to get the coconut cream melted, get the vanilla bean nicely weaved in. Let me grab my whisk, too. Huh, that's interesting. I can't find my whisk. Maybe I'll use a fork instead. Ah, I wonder where my whisk went. I think I know where it went. Let's see. Ah, there it is. Okay. No, that's my small one. Let's see. I have a lot of culinary stuff, as one could imagine, this being one of my hobbies or desires for quite some time now, decades actually. I've been outfitting my kitchen with culinary accoutrement probably since I was 16 years old, and I'm 39 now, so that's about 23 years. It definitely builds up. Okay, this is looking good. Just whisking it all together. Let me just get a little spoon rest for my whisk while this mixes together. Okay, and then we have our yolks over here. So I think for the time being, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop this one part of the audio, and then I'll be back for part two when I will be mixing the egg yolks with the coconut cream and then putting the custard in the oven. Okay, I am back for part two. The coconut cream has cooled down a little bit. Just giving it a whisk. Okay, so now on to the part with the eggs and the sugar. So I have 8 egg yolks in a glass bowl in front of me. And now I'm going to add a 1/2 cup of maple sugar, which is my preferred sweetener. Just kind of want to get some of the, tends to clump a little bit, but that's just part of it. So that's 1/4 cup right there. And of course, this will give it a bit of a maple flavor, which I'm cool with because I like this stuff. Okay, 1/2 cup. And now, you want to blend this until it lightens in color. And I'm just going to start using a whisk, mixing that up like so. And of course, using the maple sugar, it's not going to lighten in color the same way, but I'll know from the texture. Of course, important just to kind of use the bottom of the whisk to kind of get all those little bits out. And I'm just using a hand whisk, not a manual one, not a electric or anything like that. Just want to kind of get some of those little bits, a bit more, just kind of pressing with the bottom of the whisk. Can feel it breaking up. Of course, the warmth of the cream will facilitate this process as well. But what I could do in the future, I'm thinking this now, they make those little pieces of terracotta that you put inside of your brown sugar, because otherwise brown sugar will become hard as a rock. Some people do something where they just put it in the microwave to get it soft. There's only one place the microwave belongs, and that's out for the garbage men to pick up or in a dumpster somewhere. Microwave is terrible. I don't have one in the home, and I never would, and I don't use it. Of course, if you go out to eat, you have to be wary that oftentimes they use it in restaurants, and you wouldn't possibly know that that's happening.
But anyway, you can take a piece of terracotta from a pot, like a pot for, you know, gardening, or you can buy these little cute pieces of terracotta, like shaped like a bear or a rooster. I have one that looks like a rooster. And what you do is you soak it in water for like 10 to 15 minutes. You let it dry, but of course, since terracotta is porous, bibulous, it's absorbed all of the water. And then what you do when it's not wet, it's just kind of full of water due to its porosity, you put it in with your sugar and you don't get clumps, your brown sugar. So I'm thinking this might be a good technique to use for my maple sugar. Now it's thickening a little bit, getting kind of what we're looking for. Of course, it's a bit darker because it's maple sugar. Just giving it a bit more. It's a good workout too for the arms. People who tend to do a lot of cooking like I do, you have nice arms, nice forearms. Most exercises at the gym don't really build up the forearms. I'm more of a fan of natural exercise too. Albeit the gym does have its place in certain instances, you can do a lot of those gym things outside of the gym. Okay, this is looking really good. Nice texture, nice ribbon-like texture. It really does happen. So now we're gonna start adding the cream a little at a time. So let's bring over the cream. Let me get my trivet so I don't burn my table. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pour the cream into this 1 cup measure that I have because it has a spout on it. So then I can just gently pour in the cream to my egg sugar mixture, letting it temper along the way. So I'm just gonna grab a ladle. I have a small ladle that I use for stuff like this or pancakes. And I'm just gonna start to ladle some of that into my 1 cup measure. If I poured it in directly to the measuring cup, it would make a mess given the edge on the saucepan. Just gonna measure in like a cup at first. Okay. There we go. So back to our recipe. So you want to add the cream a little bit at a time, stirring continuously. So with one of my hands, my right hand, because I'm a righty, I'm going to stir the egg yolk maple sugar while I dribble in or lightly pour in the coconut cream. So here we go. And this is what tempering is. I'm bringing the egg and maple sugar mixture up to temperature by slowly adding in the coconut cream. And of course, as I'm doing that, it's becoming looser. There we go. Yep, doing well. And I can kind of increase my stream as it tempers along the way. There we go, looking really nice. So let's add a bit more of that coconut cream right now. The egg, coconut, and maple sugar mixture is still very dark in color because I haven't added all of the cream. And of course, we're using maple sugar, so that's another facet altogether. Let's see if I can just, okay, pour it like that. Again, pouring another cup or so. You gotta stir continuously while you do this. And I think I'm gonna strain this mixture as well. The recipe, or this recipe that I'm working off of, doesn't call for it, but I think it's a necessary step, so I am going to do it. Okay, this is the last amount of the cream right here. Oh, and I should also mention, once the cream came off the heat and kind of cooled off a wee bit, I added in 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract just to up the vanilla factor. Okay, so there we go. There's the entirety of our vanilla-infused coconut cream tempered into our custard base, which was egg yolks and maple sugar. And this looks pretty smooth, but I'm still going to follow through with the straining process. So let me grab my strainer. Bit of a mess over here, no worries though. Okay, so I use a stainless steel strainer. I have quite a few actually. I'm just gonna strain it back into the pot because the pot's already dirty. Why dirty more equipment, right? So here we go. I'm just gonna pour it through. Just like so. There we go. Pretty smooth. So that means that I did a good job with tempering it. Just a very, very minute amount of residue left. I probably could have gotten away without straining it, but always good to do these little extra steps. What did that take me, 30 seconds or so? Not long at all. All right, so let's just clean up a little bit of this. And now we're going to start filling up the ramekins. And I have my roasting pan too. You can use a glass, like 9 by 13, like one of those big pans you use for like casseroles and roasts and stuff like that. I am going to be using an all-clad roasting pan, stainless steel. I got this recently, I really like it. Most of the time I'm using it to make like a roast chicken with vegetables surrounding it, something like that. That's something I make quite often because it's easy, yeah, it's tasty, and then I can get a ton of meals out of that. I can eat the leftovers for a couple of days. I can make chicken salad. I can make chicken soup. I can make chicken stock. I mean, when people really utilize all the parts of their food, it goes so much further than just like, let's say, buying the chicken breast, which is clearly the least nutritious part of the animal. I mean, historically, the muscle meats would be given to like animals and stuff like that. The people went for the organs and the fat and things like that. Marrow, yeah. So I have a set of 2 ramekins. I have some little Pyrex ones. These are pretty old. It's just like a little Pyrex cup. And I also have some Le Creuset ones. Now, Le Creuset is mostly known for being a French company that makes enamel cast iron cookware. However, they also make some ceramic products that can go in the oven. And I have 2 of their little ramekins in their signature flame color, which is this orange color. I think that was their original color. So I'm using these 2. And like I said, it's okay to have like a hodgepodge, you know, a little kind of mixed match set of this, or you could just use a pie plate and do it that way too. That's fine. So back to the recipe. So we want to pour the liquid into 6 ramekins, it says. Mine might be a little bit more because some of these are a touch ample. So we'll see how we go with this. If that's the case, I will just adjust the cooking time by a bit. Before I do that, I should get my boiling water ready. So let me go over to my tea kettle. I have an electric tea kettle, it's glass. And I'm just going to fill it up with some water. I have my water in a large glass jug right next to me with a little spout on it. This is where I have another part of the house where I keep the main water, but this is where I keep it in the kitchen. This makes it easy for me. And for drinking water, I use this water as well. I don't want to use anything that comes out of the tap. And I sometimes will also drink mineral water. So let's just put that kettle on so it can get up to heat. Okay. So now back to the creme brulee. So let's start with filling those ramekins. So let's just give our mixer a stir. It's got a nice color. Kind of almost looks like eggnog, pretty much, which is another thing that I do like. Granted, I like it without the booze. I'd rather have like a little sidecar of the booze on the side or just have it without. Of course, eggnog has nutmeg and things like that. You could do an eggnog creme brulee. That'd be great, actually. I think I just gave myself an idea. So just pouring this into a cup. Let's see if I can just pour a little bit more at a time. I think I can. Okay. So let's start by pouring the custard into the ramekins. Just like so. There we go. Okay, first one filled up to the top, or the lip on the top. You can just kind of know where to fill it based on, there'll be kind of like an indentation on these Le Creuset ones where you just know where to fill. And then the ones that are Pyrex have kind of like this ribbony thing around it. I just want to see if I can fit that sixth one in here. I think I can. Okay. Just kind of wiping them out to make sure they're clean. Let's add some more custard to our cup, just like so. Okay. Again, pour some of it in. And I'm going to go a little shy on these because these ramekins are a touch larger, and I want to make sure that I evenly distribute the custard between all four of the Pyrex ramekins because the Le Creuset ones are a little bit smaller. All right. There we go. Got a little bit more custard left. We're almost done with filling this up. And then after we fill this all up, it's going to go into the oven. Let's just finish the filling process. Make it as even as possible. And this is definitely a dessert you want to prepare in advance, because it needs time for cooling and all that stuff. This is best made the day before or really early in the morning if you're planning on doing like a dinner party or something nice like that, because it really does need time to set up and chill. The same thing would be said for really any custard, even if it's a frozen custard like ice cream. All right, so there we are. So we have everything all taken care of, and the next step is that we're just going to pour the boiling water when it boils halfway up the sides of the roasting pan, and then this is going to go into the oven for 40 to 45 minutes. So I'll cut this part of the audio, which is the second piece, right now because the water is still taking a moment to boil, and I will be back with the cooked custard. Well, hello everybody, I'm back for the third part of the audio. And this is the part where the top of the creme brulee is bruleed. So in front of me, I have one of the ramekins. They've been in the fridge overnight. Today is the next day. They're nice and chilled. So before you're going to serve it, you take it out. And then you take a little bit of your cane sugar and you just sprinkle it over the top. And now you just kind of want to go like this, tapping it all around to make sure the sugar gets to the sides as well as in the middle. And you're going to have a little bit of excess. So you just want to kind of pour that back. Okay, just keep on shaking it around. Okay, that looks good. So now what I'm gonna do is I have my torch right in front of me, my bruleeing torch, and I'm going to torch this and caramelize the top of it. Just wanna make sure it's all even. Okay, so there we go. So I got my torch, I'm gonna turn that on. Let's see. There we go. Okay, I'm just gonna start going like that, about medium flame, moving it back and forth, making sure you get the edges as well as the center. You'll see little parts start to brown. Melting, that means the caramelization is happening. You don't want to keep it in one space for too long. You want to give it good rotation so you don't get any burn spots. You can see just melting around the sides. And this is Pyrex little bowl that I'm using, so it is safe for these temperatures. So I see it browning now. Just going to move it to the side a little bit more. And after we do this, we're going to let it sit for just a second, just to kind of harden. Getting nice and brown in the middle. Just make sure those sides get brown too. Should almost look kind of wet as it's happening. That's what you want. Oh yeah, there we go. Okay, so I think that is pretty spot on. So I'm going to turn that off. And I will be back in just a moment for the last segment. Okay, I am back for the fourth piece of the recording. The creme brulee has been bruleed. It has sat for just a moment, and now you can hear
That's the top. That's the top with the brulee sugar on it. So what I'll do now is I'll take a taste like I like to. And you're going to basically use your metal spoon. Metal spoon is preferred. Just kind of crush into that brulee topping and then get the custard underneath. Let's take a taste. Very good. And the top is warm and the bottom is nice and cool from the fact that it was in the fridge. So I'm going to enjoy this now. A little bit of mugwort tea. Good tea for dreaming. Good nighttime tea. No caffeine. So yeah, maybe you'll like to make this and try it. It's a great recipe to make. Good to make ahead for a party or just to make for yourself. So enjoy.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York. 107.9
FM.
WTFR.